This is the award-winning Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI, and 1140 AM KZMQ.
Welcome, everyone. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Darren Dudrick. If you have a comment or question, you may call us at 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. Speak Your Peace is brought to you by Tim Mayhew of Level 4 Wealth Management in downtown Cody. Call today for a no-cost, no-obligation consultation, 586-2700. Also brought to you in part by First Bank of Wyoming, your home lending partner in town, and Mountain High Health Foods for health foods, vitamins, herbs, books, anything for healthy living. Stop by Mountain Eye Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. Once again, the phone number is 587-1400 or 1-866-833-4400. When calling U.S. callers, please tell us your first and last name, and we limit callers to one call per show. Today's guests on Speak Your Peace, well, I don't know if they escaped or they were early release or what, but here they are. We got State Senator Hank Coe and State Representatives David Northrup and Dan Larson. How you guys doing?
Good.
We're good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I noticed Scott is still stuck in Cheyenne, and is that that's what the Scott Court? So he's still there, right? Is that?
That's right. He's not stuck there. He's extended visit.
He's extended. I like that. Extended visit. That sounds better.
Yeah, he's saving 13 hours.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Drive time.
Something like that, I guess. Huh?
Call windshield time.
Windshield time.
Yeah, that's what we call driving. Legislators, windshield time.
Windshield time. There's a lot of that, isn't there?
Yeah. Yes.
So there's so much stuff going on. We read so many different reports. We hear so many different things. I'm hoping you guys can clear it up for us. But hey, what's interesting, I got two people from the House and one person from the Senate. It's like oil and water here, it sounds like. If you read the media accounts, nobody's getting along. But I'm going to have you guys clear it up for us because there's a lot going on. And so first, is the session done? We talked a little bit before we got on. Is it done? Is there still stuff going on, or what needs to happen?
Well, I don't know. You want me to go ahead? The legislative process, after we passed the budget bill, and we didn't put it on the governor's desk until Saturday, and he has 3 days to do vetoes. But so midnight Saturday is when it starts. Sunday doesn't count. So he has Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday to do vetoes. And then the legislature has the option at that point in time to override the vetoes. It takes 2/3 vote in each house. So the legislature is reconvening. The House is going in at, 5 o'clock on tomorrow?
5:30.
5:30 tomorrow. Senate's going in at 1 o'clock on Thursday to consider the override. To override some of the vetoes if they want. Then we also, in the heat of battle, because we couldn't work on Sunday and it was after 11 o'clock Saturday night, we had two bills left out there. House Bill 140, which has some education reductions in it, $7 million the first year, $20 the second year. And House Bill 194 was the one they ultimately were working, which is the CapCon bill, the major capital construction project. So those two bills have to be concurred on too, which is still I think it's a done deal on them, truthfully. But
still got to vote.
They still got to vote, but it doesn't take 2/3 on these. So
do any of you anticipate or make any predictions of what the governor may or may not veto? Is there certain things, or maybe you personally don't feel, but talk within the legislature that your people that you work with there in Cheyenne are saying the governor may veto this or that, or what's up to be vetoed? What are some of the big things?
There's 50 positions that was in the last bill, last budget bill, asking him to reduce and through attrition, and they just didn't get done. So that was put back into this budget bill, and we expect that to happen. He probably will veto it, but if he doesn't, then we'll see what happens. But so, that's one right
and that's
off
cuts
the bat.
To 50 positions?
That's right.
What's part of the state government would that be?
I think it was all of them, wasn't it?
Was it just across the board?
Just a general cut across the board. And then he had one in his own staffing to get cut, and we'll see what happens with that. We expect that to be a veto override, or at least it'll get vetoed.
Now, specifically, the deal with education, it's funding it, is that the issue, or how can you clear that up? What's going on? There's two bills, one dealing with education spending, or is it cuts, or then another one with construction, capital construction, right?
Yeah, they're separate ones.
Okay, yeah, if you can detail, what's the education, what, as it stands, what does it read now?
Well, basically, House Bill 140, as it stands right now, Dave and I kind of disagree on some of this stuff.
Newsflash.
Which, when House Bill 140 came from the House, we did some minor adjustments to it.
You did do some minor adjustments. It was House Bill 140 was actually House Bill 30 light. And yep. So I took House Bill 30, and instead of making all the reductions effective immediately, we did what education likes to do and extended it over a three-year period. And so that kind of lightens up the impact to the districts, given time to have attrition work for them also, and give them more planning time. So one of the big cuts is ADM count. Mm-hmm. How do you count people, students in your school district? And it was set somewhere. It used to be set up so that it was on a district-wide level. As the districts came up or down, that was how we counted them. Somewhere, I don't know when it was, Henry, you might remember,
well,
it went to school-based.
We have some districts that were really hurt with ADM, you know, so we have what we call three-year rolling average, which eases the cliff effect. And actually, in House Bill 140, we maintain a $7.6 million cut the first year. This is on top of what we did last year with House Bill 236, which overall, going into House Bill 140, we had about $54 million in cuts, if I'm not wrong, I think. And so the $7.6 million, we go back to two-thirds on ADM, and then groundskeepers take an adjustment because, you know, a fairly significant adjustment the second year. This is Laramie 1, which is Cheyenne.
Primarily
because, I don't know how they did it, but they have a 280-acre farm down there that feeds in more groundskeepers than they could ever think about using. So then it's $20 million the second year, but then also with the Committee of the Whole Amendment in the Senate, we capped special education at 2017-18.
Now, spending. No, you weren't a fan of that, or you had an issue with the special education stuff, right?
Oh, we just put in, it was an amendment that came off the floor, so it was an amendment to add $2 million into that for out-of-district placements, because if you can cap it, you don't know what's going to happen in your district.
Which we kept, you know, that's still in there.
That's in there, still in there. But yeah. The phrasing on the terminology was such that it was notwithstanding any other appropriation. That meant we couldn't get to it. I mean, districts would not be able to get to it. So So that was our hang-up with 140 when it came back from the Senate, that we just needed to get that changed. And it was, we were both used as pawns after that. So,
and, you know, basically it's, you know, special education is, you know, we've been reimbursing that at 100% along with transportation all the time. And you know, conceivably by capping special education at 2017-2018 levels, average district growth in special education is 3-5% a year. So conceivably, you could see some reductions to the tune of $8 to $10 to $12 million a year.
It was 10.3 last year. So
it sounds like the bill that's on the table maybe for education is a compromise between the House and the Senate a little bit.
A little bit. I mean, we tried to do it. We tried to make it softer for districts. I mean, they know they're going to get cuts. They know that the cuts are coming, but it was mostly aimed at just trying to soften it up for districts so that they can plan and the boards have a chance to do what they need to do as far as staffing levels go.
It's significantly less, though, than Senate File 117, which had $75 million in it. And, of course, we put 117, pretty much the parameters of that, in the budget bill. And, you know, the understanding there being is that if, you know, Senate File 117 makes it to the House, it ends up in the Speaker's drawer. The bill does.
Right.
If it's in the budget bill, then there's still negotiation between the conferees. And that was stripped out, obviously, in the conference.
They've said, media reports have said there's basically philosophical differences between the House and the Senate. How would you explain that when it comes to K-12 funding? What would be the base way to so people can understand this is what the majority in the Senate feels about how education should be funded versus what the House. Is there a way to explain that? I mean,
sure, I think it's easy. You know, the education in Wyoming is funded at significantly higher level than surrounding adjoining states.
Sure, like, a lot of people, yep.
Like to the tune of about $16,000 per ADM. And every state of membership, the closest state to us is, I think, Montana at about 11, so they're $5,000 per student less than us. The Senate believed in reductions, you know, more reductions. The House, under the leadership in the House, they wanted to sustain the funding levels right now, divert a lot of money out of different revenue streams and fund education as it is. I don't know, is that a fair way to say it, David?
We heard from, initially what we heard was there was going to be a $100 million cut to education, and we looked at the cuts that have been up to date and then figured, what do we need to get close to that to satisfy the House and satisfy the Senate? And so we have, at the end of 20, we'll be at $94.8 million cuts. Mm-hmm. And so we tried to get there, but even in the House, we couldn't get to that point.
Put it into perspective with Cody, School District 6, and there was a perception out there that Senate File 117 is what we're all going to live with, and it'd be another $1.5 million. That is not what we ended up with. Okay. School District 6, just to give you an example, with House Bill 140, it's $113,000 a year. That's the entire cutout of a $31 million budget.
Four-tenths of a percent.
I mean, any cut's bad, but that's not much at all when you consider, put it in perspective, I guess. So basically, for Cody School District, there's going to be some cuts, but not nearly as much as what
they've
could
already
have been.
They've already gone through $1 million.
That's right. Last year.
So it's but the 113,000 is a little better than the 1.5 that would have been in Senate File 117.
That's right.
Dan, did you want to chime in? I know you don't. Are you involved in education at all?
No, it's tough to keep up with these two.
Yeah, well, you're smart. You kind of stay out on the outside. Dan was sitting here like me. We're looking back and forth. You guys talk the House versus the Senate here. And any thoughts on education? I mean, the funding?
I kind of lean toward more of the Senate side.
Whoa.
You know,
wow.
David's stuck
in the middle here, literally.
Yeah,
I mean.
Literally, yeah.
Literally.
You know, in the House, they probably got 40 votes that were... We're on the House leadership side, and 20 of us kind of think a little bit more cuts would be all right.
Okay, well,
so I think, did Powell end up around 99? Is that what I see? 99,000?
I think so.
Yeah. So Cody, 113,000, Powell, 99?
Yeah. 99, is that right, yeah.
You know what we did do? What we did do, we maintained the maximum cuts for really small districts at 2.5%.
Yeah.
Maximum.
Like Meteetse and so forth.
Well, you've got Arvada, Claremont, Sheridan 3, you've got Varsity 2, 10 Sleep, Meteetse Park 16, and you've got Fremont 4, I think it is, or is it 2, Dubois?
Dubois, yeah.
So we protected the little schools because they just have an awful time with cuts because they don't have the flexibility in their budget.
They have nothing to cut to it, pretty much.
Yeah,
I mean, so these numbers that we talk about, 99,000 for Pell, 113 for Cody, is that got to be voted on still, or is that pretty much a done deal?
It's still got to be voted on.
Okay. We have to
in 140 because it's in 140.
It's part
we
of
have
that.
To vote for the concurrence, but the cuts were everybody agreed on the cuts. It was just language and special ed being able to get to that $2 million for out of district placements of special ed students.
Really a technical correction.
It was purely a technical.
Now, what about the construction side of things? The construction bill. What can you do? What is that exactly, and what's going to be decided on the other bill that you talked about that needs to be decided on? What's involved in this?
Well,
it's capital construction, right?
I can't remember all the projects. There's Kasparov. Oh, I know what it is. There's this two. There's a road for a mine down in Lincoln County outside Kemmer that is really an important deal. Really an important deal because increased coal production in this thing is 350 jobs. That was one of the Senate's focuses. The other two were the Life Resource Center in Lander and the hospital in Evanston. Those are the facility in Evanston, my understanding, is it's shovel ready. They've left the contract just waiting to fund it. And this is something that the Senate really felt, those are the two projects the Senate really felt strongly about.
Correct. And then the other one was the Science Initiative
the University of Wyoming.
And that was the one that ended up being the bargaining chip. I mean, it started out at $120 million and I think last I heard it was $85 million.
I've heard that too.
But I think we got to understand that the money's already been appropriated there.
Right, right.
Okay.
You know, so it was whether or not we were going to be 80%, 75%, or whatever it was. That was the bargaining chip in the capital.
Yes. We were just trying to figure out how much are we going to figure out to get into this thing. So,
was there a Casper facility?
Yeah, there's a Casper office building at $22 million that would centralize everything the state has there in one facility. And I'm not sure what happened with that. You guys know?
What if both of these, and I hate to be a pessimist, but you guys have been dealing with pessimism probably the whole legislative session, but if these bills get rejected, what happens? If both of them happen just to say nobody, I guess they don't get
we
passed.
We just don't do it.
Nothing happens.
That's
so,
right.
So no cuts to education. And
these projects don't get funded.
For about at least a year, right?
Right.
at least a year.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's, is that, would that be a good thing or a bad thing or mixed feelings on that?
Well, you know, the Senate position, I think that the that education can absorb. These are much more minimal cuts than were out there initially. You know, as far as Capcom goes, you affect a lot of people's lives and stuff that's been planned on. I mean, we had this big fight or discussion early between the Pioneer Home and the Retirement Center and Basin about, you know, studying and doing away with those, which went away finally. But you really have you can really affect people's lives, you know, by some of these capital construction
projects. Would you guys agree with that? Is that?
The stuff that was going on in Basin and Thermop down there was early in the session, and we had rallied the troops for the Bighorn Basin and tried to do as much as we could to minimize the impact into those two facilities.
Yeah, they were only going to get funded for 1 year, I think, wasn't it?
Yep. And it's going to be a study looking at closing them.
Yeah.
Before we take a break, I want to go back to education just for a second. There's some solutions that were mentioned in some media accounts that I heard and read. Combining bus routes and district administrations, ghost health insurance, which we've talked about before on this program. Have those seen any light? Is that something that's still being on the table or a part of this bill or anything?
Some of that is a part of what's going on. Also, interim discussions. We're going to talk about doing some memorandums of agreement between districts so that, like, for example, if you're going to go to southern part of the state and you're Powell, you could stop and pick up kids in Shoshone along the way and fill the bus up and go on from there. So that makes more sense than some of the other things. Also, like occupational therapists and part PTs, which are physical therapists, those two we could share back and forth. Psychologists we could share back and forth. We do that a little bit already in the two districts where you're fairly close to each other. And Lovell's in the same boat. I mean, you can't find those people, so let's start sharing what we have and get it out there and minimize the cost to the districts.
Well, the Matisse's, you know, small. You know, obviously we can share stuff with them, and I think Senate File 72 passed, and that looks at efficiencies in transportation reimbursement.
Right. We do some efficiencies with transportation right here in the Bighorn Basin. Powell and Cody have the same line of buses, same brand, and so. Oh, I'm sorry, not Powell and Matisse do. And so Matisse brings her buses over and has them worked on in the Powell shop over there rather than take them to Billings because, of course, it's that much farther to run to Billings.
What about combining administrations? Is that...
You know, that thing just
that's
didn't
a tough
get any
one.
Traction this year.
Oh, it didn't? Okay.
And I was opposed to it from the get-go. It just, you know, doesn't save all that much money. And it, you know, I think $7.5 million bucks
that's
a year,
right.
Total out of $1.5 billion. I mean,
yeah, that's
$7.5 million sounds like a lot, but
plus these small districts lose identity. I think
when
you do stuff like that.
You know, these little towns with the schools are the focal point of these towns, and really are totally the focal point. And you know, I didn't want to mess with. I don't know where it went, but it just didn't go anywhere this year.
We didn't see it.
What about the health insurance regard with the school employees? Because I think you might have pointed out, Senator, last time or a couple times you've been on, is that some of these teachers. That's available, but they're not using. A lot of them aren't using it, right? Is that the health insurance?
Yeah, and the reimbursement, David, and help me here. Remember this: the reimbursement is up to what for
state
the block
level
grants,
is.
Up to what the state health insurance plan is for state employees, and that's in the funding model.
And that's based upon how many teachers you have in the district. So if you have a man and wife that are both working in the district, one of them takes it, then the other one turns into a ghost employee. And because they're both offered, but you can take it on our family plan. So,
interesting. Well, we're going to take a quick break on Speaker PC. If you'd like to join the conversation today with State Senator Hank Coe, along with State Representatives David Northrup and Dan Larson, give us a call, 587-1400. We're back with more Speaker PC right after these messages.
The views and or opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily the views and or opinions of this station or its advertisers.
Pain should not be a way of life. This is Linda Brown. Last week, I heard someone say, "Oh, I've tried physical therapy." It occurred to me that I've never heard someone say, "Oh, I've tried going to the doctor." Your therapy experience may vary dependent on your physical therapist's interests, clinical approach, or specialized training. You have a choice in your healthcare decisions. Come see why our patients refer their family and friends to Advantage Rehab Physical Therapy. In Cody, 587-9866 or Powell, 754-2019.
Mountain High Health Foods is pleased to welcome Dr. Blaine Chambers, a renowned health and wellness consultant. Join us Tuesday or Wednesday, March 13th or 14th, for a 45-minute consultation with Dr. Chambers for just $80. His 33 years of research have been dedicated to solving health problems stemming from a lack of essential nutrients. Find out more through a simple blood test and consultation with Dr. Chambers. Mountain High Health Foods, top of the hill in Cody. To schedule an appointment, call 587-1700.
Triple L Sales in Cody is your year-round source for pipe fittings and fasteners. They carry a variety of nuts, bolts, Unistrut, and more. Plus, Richie Livestock Waterers. Richie is proudly made in the USA. Fresh available water means healthy animals. Automatic water means time and energy savings for you. At Triple L Sales, their goal is to provide quality products for the best value. For your home, farm, or ranch, see Triple L Sales on Bighorn Avenue in Cody. Open weekdays 7:30 to 5.
Did you know colorectal cancer is the second cancer killer of men and women? And symptoms often aren't noticed until later stages? Did you know there is more than one way to screen for colorectal cancer? Bottom line is, talk to your doctor about getting screened. For more information about free screenings, contact Val Walsh Haynes at Wyoming Cancer Resource Services at Cody Regional Health, 877-437-2702.
Wyoming Cancer Resource Services is funded by the Wyoming Department of Health Comprehensive Cancer Control Program.
Join us to celebrate our 45th anniversary. Sir Optimist of Cody's 45th annual wine tasting party, Blue Sapphire, is Saturday, March 17th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Cody Auditorium. Enjoy mingling with friends while sampling wine, beer, and delicious food. Bid on many exciting silent auction items and be ready for a few larger auction packages as well. Tickets are $30 in advance, $35 at the door. Get your tickets today at Legends Bookstore in downtown Cody or from any Sir Optimist member. See you Saturday, March 17th.
Have you been prescribed antibiotics? This is Ashley Trudeau with Cody Regional Health inviting you to our next Lunch and Learn on Wednesday, April 18th with speaker Dr. Tyler Weaver. Learn about superbugs and how to prevent them, what infections can be caused by antibiotics and how to protect yourself. When do you really need antibiotics? Get some great information and enjoy a delicious lunch in the Pitchfork Room. Please RSVP by Friday, April 13th at codyregionalhealth.org or call me at 578-2512.
If you're in the market for a used vehicle, look no further than Garvin Motors in Powell. You'll find a great lineup of used vehicles at Garvin Motors with exceptional value, quality, and dependability. At Garvin Motors, their goal is to provide great prices and a relaxed, no-pressure atmosphere, making your car buying experience fun. Stop by Garvin Motors today and see their great selection or visit them online at garvinmotors.com. You'll be glad you did. Garvin Motors, located on West Coulter Avenue in Powell.
Home and Garden, Home and Garden Show, Home and Garden, Home and Garden Show.
Nothing gives spring a jumpstart like the annual Spring Home and Garden Show at the Riley Arena in Cody. Browse hundreds of square feet of exhibits and find the latest in products and services for everything. Friday, April 13th, noon till 7:30 p.m. and Saturday, April 14th from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m.
Home and Garden, Home and Garden Show, Home and Garden, Home and Garden Show.
We are back on Speak Your Peace. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick, today visiting with State Senator Hank Coe, along with State Representatives Dan Larson and David Northrup. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. I want to talk a little bit about the Stand Your Ground bill. And I understand, the last I heard, and I don't know, that the criminal immunity provision was removed from the bill. Is that right? Or can you tell us how the bill stands now? Is the governor going to look at the bill, or is he looking at the bill? Do we know? I know there's two bills to start with, right?
Well, we had two bills to start with. We had Senate File 71, sponsored by Senator Anthony Bouchard, and then House Bill 168, sponsored by Salazar.
Salazar is correct.
There's still people in the House I don't know. I apologize for that, but there's a lot of new people. At the end of the day, the immunity provision was not necessarily totally removed.
Okay.
The Perkins Amendment, what we're talking about here, the opposition to the bill initially, as it was written in Senate File 71, said that how could you ever determine totally if two guys get into an argument and one guy goes back and gets his gun and comes to the porch and another guy comes with his gun and there's a shootout, how could you ever investigate to find out exactly what happened if the guy is defending his house, says, hey, I have immunity, you can't you can't prosecute me or investigate me. I have immunity here. I was defending my house. That's what it was all about. Now, at the end of the day, I can't totally reiterate what House Bill 168 does, but I can tell you this much. Senator Anthony Bouchard, the prime player down there in Stand Your Ground, was happy with the bill and voted for it, as I did too.
And he was satisfied with it.
He was satisfied with the bill. He liked it.
What was the misunderstanding? Because I got a lot of calls on speaker piece about that, and I've heard mixed reviews on that. What was the main gripe people had? They thought that it was completely stripped, the criminal immunity.
They thought that
thing?
The immunity provision had been totally stripped out of the bill.
And that wasn't the case.
And that was it. And I can tell you the pipeline goes around and people said, well, you know, the Senate stripped the immunity provision out of Senate File 71, and all of a sudden these nasty emails started flowing, a lot of them.
The gun issue is very...
These people had not read the bill.
And that's what happens a lot, too.
A lot.
These bills aren't just one sentence.
You know, the pipeline gets going with the telephone and say, you know what they did down there? You need to get after your legislators. They did this.
Yep.
So we started hearing from them, and these people had not read the bill.
So you responded back, here's the bill, read it.
Well, I had so many emails, too. I couldn't respond back that much.
You know, we get so many amendments on the floor, House floor especially, we'll get 6-8 amendments on a bill, and then you start putting those amendments into the bill, and it's a full-time job just to sit and cut and paste and put the amendments into the bill so you fully understand what the bill's doing now.
Mm-hmm. So if somebody, to Stand Your Ground bill, if somebody does want to defend themselves or their property, and they act, they won't be charged criminally? Is that, that's a kind of a generality, but I mean, is there a way to explain that of how the bill reads from what you understand? Or is it, maybe it's more complicated than that. It seems like it might be.
It is a little more complicated than that, but the Castle Doctrine is still in effect. That's in Wyoming statute.
Right.
And, the real attorneys, said, hey, you can do this right now under the Castle Doctrine. I'm not a lawyer, so I can't respond much more than that.
That's all I can say, too.
That's about all I can say.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please say your first and last name.
Hi, guys. It's Dewey Vanderhoff.
Hey, Dewey.
Hank, your comment about people not reading the bills and then unloading on you, backing up. And getting...
Dewey, I'm not talking about you, pal. I know you too well. You and I grew up together. I know you read this stuff.
I try to, Hank. That's the problem, but the information isn't there yet. We do not get the text of the bills until pretty much the same time you guys are talking about them in committee or working through them. There'll be a bill that'll have a title and the barest of descriptions, and that's all the public sees. Months out, weeks out, week up, we really do not see these bills. I wished that the bills were finalized at least 30 days ahead of the session. For one and all, you guys and the people you represent need to see what's coming before it's on top of them. Now, why doesn't that happen?
And when do they have to be finalized? How close to the session?
Well, that's the problem, is that they're never finalized. Okay. We keep putting amendments on them, and it changes day to day. So there's initial drafts that come out, and those are available on the LSO website. And you just go to the 18th session and then click on bills. And you can pull up the bills and go through them. But after then, there's amendments on them. And when you look across the header on that particular page, it'll say amendments. And underneath it, it'll say yes or blank. And so if there's amendments, you have to click on the yes. And then it will list the amendments. And that's what I'm saying. You have to take that amendment, and it says page 2, lines 11 through 13, will read. And you got to literally read that into the bill and see what they cut out or put in, whichever way it is, to be able to figure out what the bill says, because a lot of time you're clearing up language or you're clearing up the meaning of what's going on there.
It goes so fast, so fast.
And as far as bills go, I think Friday of the first week in a budget session is the last time for a bill to be out of LSO, so you can actually have a bill that you're still working on to draft up that'll come out of LSO on Friday.
Right.
And then it'll go for introduction, session, if it makes introduction, then it gets assigned to a committee.
They're coming up with a new beta version, they're calling it, for the LSO web page, and it's pretty awesome. So if you go to the old page, it's right at the top. Just click on it.
I have no use for extranet.
Yeah, that one's a tough one.
Would you guys be in favor of a 30-day like as Dewey suggested, maybe 30 days in advance, looking and having the bills finalized and ready to go? Is that too long?
I don't know how you could really do that, because there can be a number of things that can happen that last 30 days prior to a session.
And we're still meeting with like the commissioners and the schools and everybody else. I mean, we have to bump all that up 30 days, but it's not a bad idea to speed that up, even for us. We did in the House limit how many bills you can bring this year. It used to be five, and we...
No, I think we left it at five.
I'm
pretty sure.
Well, five and a budget session.
Right.
The public still needs to know. You can't build the plane while you're flying it. You know, that's kind of what's going on here. It's a work in progress, but we really don't get the chance to get on board with what you're trying to do. It's happening in real time, the first time anybody's seen it, including you. My suggestion, and it's just a suggestion, maybe 30 days is too much, let's go 2 weeks. That I could live with that. But how would you feel about having 30-day budget sessions and 30-day general sessions instead of a 20 and a 40 on the biennium? How would you feel about having a little bit longer budget session so that you actually can work through this stuff without so much anxiety and, racing to the finish line and cutting corners and, getting kind of nasty and everybody's temperature and blood pressure goes up? Like, I'm looking at the list right now of the bills that Matt Mead signed yesterday. There's 41 of them, and
yeah,
I've never heard of 39 of them. You know, how about 30-day sessions through and through in the biennium?
You know, I think, if I could try to answer that, Dewey, I like the format of the 20-day budget session to deal with a biennium budget for the next 2 years, which is big stuff. And you've got to join appropriations committee that has probably already spent somewhere around 6 weeks in Cheyenne at meetings, hearing agency requests. And the other thing about the budget session I like, and this is where we've gotten a little bit out of bounds, 2/3 vote to make introduction on non-budget bills in a 20-day budget session. The House and the Senate are both guilty of letting too much stuff in.
They are.
We should focus much more on the biennium budget. And, it's easy if you got a, your deskmate next door's got a bill, it's okay. And then you try to feed that into a process in 20 days. And, guys, am I right there?
That's right. There should be more limiting.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what it looked like from where I was sitting early on anyway. I know you're still, in the first lap, the first week. You really maybe not know where you're going to go exactly. You just know you have to get there, and you're up against deadline. It's 20 working days, and we all know about deadlines. But still, look what pops up out of the ether. You've got God and guns and glory and all this other stuff, when really you need to be knuckling down on the budget. This was probably, except for the year 1968, when Wyoming was broke and had $50 in the bank.
That's about right.
This is about the most critical budget session we have had in yours and mine's lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And you spent the first 2 weeks off in the weeds on all this other stuff, when really you should have been putting on your green visor and getting out the red pencil and getting, cracking down on the budget. Here you had to go and borrow 3 days from last year. You're going back to work this week, right?
Well, yeah, the House, that's almost specifically for veto override.
Correct.
Yeah. But the House and the Senate might be in for 2 hours.
But still, you had to borrow that time from what you didn't use last year, right? You left yourself 3 days in the bank, and now you...
We did leave ourselves 3 days. We did 37 days last year, and we would have stayed and finished up on Sunday, but the Constitution says the legislature cannot convene on Sunday.
Yeah. I see that, but it tells me, again, 20 days isn't long enough. This was a critical session, and you didn't quite get over that last hurdle in time. So I don't know what to tell you guys, but I'm sitting here looking at bills that the first time I've heard about them is today, and they're already signed because Matt signed them yesterday. The bill HEA 35, domestic abuse phone numbers, concealed weapons in places of worship, alternative school accountability, move over requirement. I mean, this stuff.
You're right.
Yeah, guys, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. But you need more time to do budget and maybe less time with the social conservative stuff.
Dewey, you and I have grown up together. I don't always agree with you. This time I agree with you.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. The House brought 204 bills, and we got 73 alive. Senate had 126, and you got 74 of them.
Well, it kind of reminds me of that Winston Churchill movie I just saw. That Churchill said, as far as Americans go, they will finally do the right thing after exhausting all other alternatives. Thanks, guys. I'll let Darren go sell.
Well, it's sort of like what a governor said one time. He said, we got to get the legislature out of town and minimize the damage.
And that's why you guys are here, right? Right. So for our listeners, Senator, you explained this to me off the air, but for the carrying days over, how does that work? What does the Constitution say, and why do you have 3 days that you can use for those that don't understand that?
Well, we schedule, like, the general session last year, which you can do any type of business you want to do. We also have a supplemental budget.
Correct.
The leadership schedules 37 days there, and then we schedule 20 day for the budget session. The state constitution says that the legislature shall not meet more than 60 days every 2 years. So we're limited to 60 days unless we come back in special session. So we saved 3 days from last year.
Oh, so that's how the whole thing works.
So is that in joint rules where you go 40-20, or is that?
Technically, that's the parameters, but the management council still can set,
gotcha.
You know, can still set the time frame.
You know, I wanted to just get your feedback from what's happening in the legislature regarding a bill that was signed by the governor last year, and now Cody School District is looking at possibly arming staff. I know Powell's talking about it. Have you heard from your fellow legislators? Is other districts really looking into this? Is it seem like it's gaining some traction across the state? Do most school districts like this and are trying to find some kind of form to incorporate in their district? What are you hearing about it?
Well, Cody jumped in the fray first.
Correct.
Yeah. And so everybody kind of sat back, said, let's wait and see what Cody does.
And, you know, their board turned out a really good policy.
They did.
So much so that Evanston board picked the policy up and just ran with it. And Evanston, one of the Evanston school districts has it. So there's a Uinta County, whatever.
Did they implement it?
They implemented it.
Yeah. Wow. That's out of Bridger Valley out there outside of town.
Kind of what I'd heard.
So for the most part, it sounds like It was a good thing. I mean, to get at least the talk started of security in schools and getting the school districts on board and local control.
And that's what we were heading for. It was the Claremont, Arvada's. You got Meteetse, Tent Sleep locally. You know, these little bitty districts out there, they're, as they say, 30 minutes away. And there they are their own selves, so they have to take care of themselves. They've had to take care of themselves all along.
Do you guys know if Meteetse is talking about maybe incorporate some kind of the bill into their district at all?
I don't know.
I don't know. I haven't heard from Sean.
I heard that Natrona 1 was looking at it pretty serious now. But everybody's been waiting for Cody, and Cody did a pretty good job. Really, really, the school board here did an excellent job
right.
of weighing everything.
Meanwhile, that said, I know this wasn't a budget. This wasn't a kind of a bill session, more of a budget session, but Was there any talk about maybe bringing up any more type of gun bills in the future that's needed, you know, in wake of the shooting in Florida, the school shooting in Florida? Is there anything else that you think the legislature may want to tackle in years to come regarding gun bills?
Not that I'm aware of.
We haven't heard anything. But no, that doesn't mean somebody won't bring something.
Okay. So, I mean, it's possible that someone may come up. Obviously, it's probably a good possibility someone can come up with something in the next couple of years that deal, whether it's school security or anything else.
Exactly.
Anything else regarding the guns that you guys wanted to – we were talking about stand your ground before we got the call. Anything about that we want to clear up, that maybe some misconceptions? It sounds like it went the way it was supposed to be, and you got the strong conservatives in support of it, it looks like.
Yeah, it just kind of died off when they figured it all out at the end of the day with the final product, and you know all three of us voted for it, and it had a lot of support.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break on Speaker Piece. If you'd like to join the conversation today with State Senator Hank Ho, along with State Representatives David Northrup and Dan Larson, give us a call 587-1400. Back with more Speaker Piece right after these messages.
Dental implants have given thousands of people a second chance to enjoy the foods they love, to smile with confidence, and get their lives back after tooth loss. Billings Oral Surgery offers dental implants to our patients in the Bighorn Basin at our Cody location. World-class dental care from a highly skilled team, close to home. Billings Oral Surgery on Bighorn Avenue in Cody. To schedule a consultation, call 587-5451. We love to see you smile.
When you need physical or occupational therapy, the choice is yours. Ask for a referral to Canyon Therapy. This is Allison Tipton, and we offer care designed to get you back to a healthy lifestyle. We work closely with your physician to ensure that you have the best possible outcome, and our elite team of therapists are some of the best in the business. Canyon Therapy is conveniently located on Cody's West Strip. Call 587-9789. Canyon Therapy. Relief. Recovery. Results.
The Bighorn Co-op has locations in Riverton, Worland, Basin, Powell, Grable, and Buffalo to help you travel around our area. They've got everything a convenience store needs and so, so much more. From new tires and the guys to put them on to animal feeds and pet supplies. You can pick up supplies to fix your furnace or your plumbing. Fill your vehicle with gas and fill your tummy with treats. Stop by and see what the Bighorn Co-op has to make your day easier. The Bighorn Co-op in Grable, Basin, Worland, Riverton, Powell, and Buffalo.
The bolt sale is back at Linton's Big R. It includes hex head and carriage head, bolts, nuts, flat washers. Now on sale at $1.79 a pound at Linton's Big R. Check out the muck boots they have in stock. Plus a Gallagher fence energizer that works up to 10 miles, just $169.99. Check out these March specials at Linton's Big R.
Hello, this is Adam Redland, your auctioneer, Warner Livestock Auction. We understand the trust that hardworking ranching families place in their livestock marketing source. This is how Jim and Stacy Newby have been able to increase our head count sold annually by more than 6,000 head each year, building long-lasting relationships with honesty and integrity. With more than 30 years in livestock marketing, you can trust Jim and Stacy's experience and knowledge. Warner Livestock Auction is tailored to add more dollars to your bottom line with our close location and lower commission than any of our competitors. Please call Jim at 431-9999.
Darren College, a former NFL Super Bowl champion, signed the most important contract of his life to serve in the Army National Guard.
I've had a lot of military in my family. It's a big part of what my family's done for a long time. I want to go out there and make a difference. I didn't find that working behind a desk, so for me it was a pretty easy decision to make. And then the opportunity to serve my community and serve my country was just icing on the cake.
To learn how to be part of the Army National Guard, log on to NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wyoming Army National Guard. Aired by the Wyoming Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Join us weekdays for 2 hours of local talk, news, weather, and sports here on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI. From 4 to 5 p.m., it's a rebroadcast of Wyoming's award-winning news talk program, Speak Your Piece, followed at 5 with an hour of in-depth news, weather, and sports with award-winning sports director Tim Anderson. It's the information you need to know. Weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m., only on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM, KODI, your news authority.
We are back on Speak Your Piece. Thanks for staying with us. I'm Darren Dudrick. Tonight, visiting with State Representatives David Northrup and Dan Larson, along with State Senator Hank Coe. If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call, 587-1400. So we'll talk about the positive, I guess. A lot of good things, Senator, as you said, happened at the session that the listeners may want to know about. What are some of the things that commercial air service? I know there was a bill floating around regarding that. What can you tell us about that?
That's House Bill 40, and it's the capacity purchase agreement stuff that we've been talking about for some time. It really doesn't do much for Cody or Jackson or Casper, but the critical need communities like Riverton and Sheridan and Rock Springs. And it's funded. You know, it was part of the Endow initiative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the number two priority that they had was commercial air service.
Along with the online.
The benefit of economic diversification and growth. We ended up getting that funded.
And so no impact really in Cody then? People aren't going to see any kind of effects or positive or negative from that, I guess?
Well, in summer, we stand on our own here.
Sure.
We do so well in the summer, but from October 1st to May 1st, we're under essential air service funding. And, of course, United just started with their two flights a day March 1st. And, if we lost EAS funding from U.S. Department of Transportation, Cody'd be right in there for winter service with everybody else.
Yep. Well, that's good. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
John Streeter.
Hi, John.
Before you guys are gone here this morning, I just want to ask a question. I suppose you'll think it's trivial, but last year I licensed my 17-year-old pickup, and the state fee on that was $40. This year, I'm ready to license that same pickup, which is now 18 years old, and the state fee is $70. That's almost double. Mm-hmm. How can you justify that kind of an increase?
As I understand it, that those fees have not gone up since the 70s, and so they brought a bill saying that they wanted to bump the fees up to get YDOT out of the general fund. That was the general fund portion that YDOT was able to get. So with increasing those fees, we were able to get YDOT enough money to get them out of general fund, freeing up more general fund dollars. Now, I didn't vote for it because I, too, have to license vehicles, and almost doubling that gets to be old after a while. So that's my stand on it.
Well, and it passed a year ago, and it also, I think there was a significant increase in what you pay to renew your driver's license as well.
That's correct.
Yep. There's two fee bills in there, and that was one of them.
Right. Yep.
Okay. No justification, just babble. Thank you.
Yep, just get them out of the
general fund. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So, Senator, but what you were saying about the commercial air service bill, for Cody, it's almost like a safety valve. In case something does happen, there's that to fall back on in Cody's case.
Well, this is a 10-year program. Okay. I mean, this is not something that is going to happen just for 1 year. And the Endow Council will be the entity out there that we create, or the capacity purchase agreement, the council that's going to oversee the program. We'll go out with RFPs through Wyoming Aeronautics and the old Air Service Enhancement Program, and put out RFPs to carriers. They got about 5 carriers right now that are interested in coming into Wyoming under this agreement. And right now, Cody would not be a participant in that because of EAS. But I can tell you that Sheridan and Riverton are at incredible risk to lose everything, even though they've got this. The small service they have right now, which is a 30-passenger airplane twice a day that they share for $2 million a year.
Let's go to the phone line. Caller, please state your first and last name.
Judy Frisbee.
Hi, Judy.
Good morning. The thing I'd like to mention is going back to this guns in schools and this thing about Evanston. When someone said, you know, that Evanston had passed Cody's policy, and so anyway, I went and looked at theirs, and what was interesting, and they, you know, I think they're on their second reading of it, but they had a little clause down there at the bottom telling people, even when it's passed the third reading, that does not mean it has passed, because they cannot find out how much it's going to cost them for insurance until after the policy is passed, you know, for the third reading. Then they send it to the insurance company, and then the insurance company will let them know how much it's going to cost, and so it will only be after they find out what the insurance increase is going to be as to whether or not the gun policy will actually go through, because, you know, they have to decide, with the cutbacks, do we have enough money to pay the increase in insurance?
So it's basically an amendment that's put onto the policy that's going to set it up so that they can get a look back on it.
I guess. All I know is that they had that little message down at the bottom that for the, you know, voters in, or the people in Evanston, to not have the idea that just as soon as it passes on third reading, it becomes policy, that then they have to check into, can they afford it?
So was this, this is not Uinta 1 in Evanston, though. This is the Bridger Valley. There's Uinta District 2, isn't it?
No, this was Evanston.
Oh, it is? Okay.
That's the way I remember it, Hank.
Okay. I don't know. I'm not sure about any of the insurance stuff on it.
No, we hadn't.
I had asked a couple of times this has been months ago, in Cody what it was going to cost, and they said nothing. And I thought, I'm surprised at that. And then when I read that on our policy, I thought, well, that's interesting that one district would have to pay nothing, and then the other district is saying, well, we may pass this, but it may pass. It'll depend on what it's going to cost.
Be a good question for Ray Schulte or the school board here. I don't know anything about it.
Yeah. Well, there's three different insurance policies out there or groups that they're using, and one of them is Wyoming School Boards, and another one is, I can't remember what it is, but and then you're allowed to have private, and there's a couple districts that are using private carriers for their insurance, and so.
Oh, thank you.
So that those three policies may be dictating who's doing what.
Yep. Okay, thank you so much, David. Yep. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Judy.
Thanks for the call, Judy. We should mention that another positive thing that you guys mentioned to me off the air was regarding computer science, right?
This is the neatest deal we did. Is. I mean, you know, David and I have been really involved in this going back into the interim, and we, the recalibration committee as well as joint education, the computer science initiative, I think, is one of the most exciting things we have done to the Common Core the Common Core knowledge criteria. And it just, you know, we had this wonderful testimony in the interim at both committees from these young people from Powell over there, and Powell's doing some wonderful stuff in computer science. It just lit everybody up. You know, as these young people are going out into the world, this is the nature of what they have to have as a background to really be successful. The future is in technology.
So what does this do for those who don't know when we talk computer science, this new program, is it funding or what is it? What does it do for the school district?
We left the state board to develop those standards, but what we want is to be able to take keyboarding, because right now keyboarding is actually a requirement and it needs to be integrated into the curriculum so that kids learn keyboarding just like you would learn to read or write. Because that's where we're all going to be,
absolutely.
On a keyboard some kind. And so that's one of the things we want to integrate into it. We also want to get young kids into not being afraid of technology. Some households do not have technology in their house. And so we need for everybody to get on that same playing field where we're all talking about the same thing at the same time, including people who don't have the advantage of having a home computer.
Dan, before we wrap things up, anything you wanted to throw in there regarding your perspective from the session? Anything particular that stuck out to you or any positive things that you liked that we didn't mention?
Well, I brought Medicaid work requirement, and I was hoping that would get further than it did. It got over from the Senate. Mm-hmm. It had died in the House committee on a 4-4 vote, mm-hmm. Which... We would have had it, but we were one person was sick.
Oh, okay.
But it would have just helped people that are on Medicaid that are able to work as adults, and where there was lots of exceptions to it. I mean, if you had a child under six, you were out. If you were taking care of somebody at home, you know, that was a adult that needed it, they were out. But we'll bring it back. Yeah,
you're not giving up yet,
then. No, I think it's a good idea, and it helps people just to give them a leg up, and maybe get them out there to volunteer, go to school for 20 hours a week, or work. Mm-hmm. You know, get them out of the house and get a reason to get up and.
Well, that's certainly a good thing.
I have another bill I'd like to talk about. We did
go ahead.
Common College transcripts between University of Wyoming and the community colleges. The community colleges presently are using the same transcript system so that they can talk to each other electronically, and you can go from Western to Northwest to Eastern or any of the other community colleges that are here. But we hit that roadblock at the University of Wyoming.
Really?
And
they never had that connection then.
They didn't have that connection, and so we're going to request for them to do that. And put it in statute. You guys will do this. So
they're going to have to do it.
They have to do it. Okay. They're working on it. It's making progress already.
This was another good Northrop bill.
See, he compliments people from the House. Now, I know Dan sometimes disagrees what the House does in the favors of Senate. So he literally is in the middle here. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
We are really good friends, you know, away from all this. So we love jabbing each other a little bit. The other thing we did that was really good was we funded cities, towns, and counties again at $105 million.
Yes. Yep.
That could have went another route, too.
And that's part of that digging some money out of the general fund that we were talking about by the fees. If you know, you just got to have money to be able to do things. So if you're going to fund some of these things, we have to dig some of these agencies out.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for coming on today and taking the windshield time and making your way. Is that the windshield time? Is that what they call it?
My time at the windshield a little quicker than these guys.
Oh. Well, we had to take one more shot at you guys before we're out here. Thanks, gentlemen. Appreciate it. And that will do it for Speak Your Peace. Thanks for listening today. I'm Darren Dudrick. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Have a great day.
This has been Speak Your Peace with Darren Dudrick on 1400 AM, 96.7 FM KODI Cody, and 1140 AM KZMQ Grable.